God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. Praise His name. I would like you to face your neighbor and tell your neighbor, I hope, and repeat after me. Tell your neighbor, I pray that this year, 2016, is a year that you will know and you will experience more of Jesus. Amen. More of Jesus. That is what we want. More of Jesus. If you were here last Sunday, we kind of work on the topic about the prodigal son. And of course, the heart of the message last Sunday was when the father placed a new robe, a new ring, and a new sandals for the son. And that is actually for each and every one of us. We have to look at one another as accepted by the Father, with His righteousness covering us, with the sonship sealing us, and with a new sandals, speaking of a new journey for each and every one of us. It's an eternal, exciting journey. It's not a dead journey. And every walk that we have with Jesus, there's a song that says, every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Because once you walk with royalty and the King of Kings and the Lord of Glory, you can't help like the angels bowing down before Him and crying out, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. So this year, we have, the elders have been talking about launching out. Actually, it's the overhead topic that we have been praying and impressed by the Holy Ghost that we are launching out, not just in missions. We have the opportunity to launch out to Conroe Church, building up the church over there. But this challenge is also launching out individually for each and every one of us. That there would be movement from our personal walk with the Lord. If you would be seeing 2015, the Lord, I have walked with you 2015, but I want more of you in 2016. So it's speaking actually in the new sandals that we have. So we would be talking about in the next this series on the Kingdom of God series. And today, I have been given the honor to talk about the King of the Kingdom. And He is such a wonderful King. Actually, in the book of John, chapter 18, it says here, when Christ was in front of Pilate, Pilate asked Him this question, you are a king then? And Jesus answered, you are right in saying, I am a king. In fact, for this reason, I was born. And for this, I came into the world to testify about the truth. Everyone, that's us, who is on the side of truth, listens to me. So we are on that crowd of born-again believers that we are in the side of truth and we listen to Him. Amen? So that is when Christ was in front of Pilate. He was bloody and filthy, being whipped and being spit on and all that. That was the Christ then. And I would like to bring the congregation at this time in the current state of the exalted Christ. He's exalted, and in record we have Revelation 19 there, starting verse number 11. It says here, now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. That's powerful, isn't it? Now, this is the current Christ. He was clothed with a robe dripped in blood, And his name is called the Word of God. Verse number 14, and the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now, out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he would strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads with the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This is the current Christ. Okay? And we could not help but, you know, try to imagine this and seeing him in this exalted state and be in awe and say, wow, this is the King that I worship. This is the Lord that I cherish. He is the one who has set me free. Colossians, it says there, for God has rescued us out of the dominion of darkness and has brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sin. There are two things there. He has redeemed us, and he has put us in his kingdom. So we could not help also but go back also to the written record in the book of Isaiah. And this would be the heart of our talk this morning. In Isaiah 9, 6 to 8, it says here, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government, this is very important, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. This is such powerful, powerful revelation of the offices of this child born to us, Jesus Christ. And it says here, continuing in verse number 7 of Isaiah 9, it says here, of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forevermore. The seal of the Lord will perform this. Meaning to say, because the seal of the Lord is there, nothing and no one could be able to thwart this. Nothing or no one could be able to thwart this. So the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. The first thing that I would like to kind of underscore this morning would be his government. The government of this child. In John chapter 13, it says there, this is during the lowly state of this exalted king. There is this record that says, now before the feast of the Passover, this is John 13, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to be the world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Verse number 2, and supper being ended, the devil having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands. This is the key there. All things has already been given in his hands. And that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper and laid aside his garments, took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, Lord, are you washing my feet? Jesus answered and said to him, what I am doing you do not understand now, but you will know this after this. You will know after this. Now, this is the dilemma that we have over here in our lives, you know, that this happened during the time when Jesus was with his disciples, and how would this be applicable to each and every one of us? Because Jesus said, a time will be coming that you will understand this. And for most Christians, they have set this apart as an event only exclusive for Peter. And the impact of this by the servant God that we have through Jesus Christ our Lord is not really appreciated. We got lost. But look at the implication of this. In verse number 8 of that, it says there, Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." And Jesus answered, I would like you to put your heart in this verse, this part of the verse. It says, Jesus answered, "If I do not wash you, you have no part of me." You have no part of me. Now, of course, being the Peter who he is, Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Give me a bath." Okay? Jesus said to him, "He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but he is completely clean." Because we have that robe already, brothers and sisters, and we have that ring, we are clean, completely clean, actually. That's what Jesus said. And you are clean, but not all of you, of course, referring to Judas. So this cleansing is so, the feet and the cleansing of the feet is so important in the kingdom of God, in the government of God. Going back again in verse number 8, it says, Jesus answered to him, "If I do not wash you, you have no part with me." Now, we are living in a society that is so saturated by those people that wants to wash our feet. The washing of our feet is exclusive for the I am. Do you get me there? Jesus is the only one who could wash our feet. There is a video clipping over here that I would like to us to watch. That this video clipping actually pushes us and brings us to our time right now. Seeing that there are a lot of teachings, there are a lot of misleading teachings actually, that's even embraced by a lot of Christians thinking, oh, it's fine, it's ecumenical. But don't you be deceived. Jesus says, "If I do not wash you, you have no part with me." So you see, there's a lot of teachings, there's a lot of forces that would like to wash your feet and wash the feet of the world. And there's a lot of people that are drawn to this. But in our faith as Christians, having Christ, the exalted Christ, only He could wash our feet that is approved by God Almighty. That's why He is so bold in saying, "I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No man comes to the Father except through me." Now, in the book of Ephesians, chapter 25 to 27, there's something very interesting over here. It says, "Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her." There's blood there, isn't it? Other religions is bloodless religion, bloodless relationship with God. But only in Christianity we have the blood of the Lamb shed in our behalf. And in verse number 26 it says here, "That he might sanctify and cleanse her," the bride, "with the washing of water and by the word." So, by his blood, the washing of water, and by the word. So, we are being washed by the word of God, and we know who the Word is. The Word is no one else but Christ Himself. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt for a while among us. We have seen His glory, and the glory of the one and only begotten Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Continuing in Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 27, he says, it says here that He, which is the Word, Jesus, might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. That is the intent of the washing of the word for each and every one of us. Now the tragedy is, Christianity is being pushed into that realm of wordless Christianity. There is no more devotionals in our homes. There is no more personal reading. There is no more quiet time. And if we are not careful, we are becoming like so a wordless Christian. And so I pray and weep. It is our prayer that this would shift. There would be a shift here in this church. Amen? In 2016. And there's a very important word over here given to me by the Lord. It says here, one may have the word, but the word doesn't have him. One may have theology, teachings, and all this know-how in Scripture, and quoting Scripture even, but the Scripture doesn't have him. There's an entirely different place for that. We need to push ourselves in that realm that the Word of God has a dictate in our lives, washing our feet, that we might be able to be functioning properly in this new government. There should be this passion for the Word of God for each and every one of us. I've been looking at the book of Job here, Job 23:12. And, you know, how far are we in this? And Job said, I have not departed from your commandments, O Lord. I have treasured your words in my heart more than my necessary food. Wow. Comparing the Word of God and food, a lot of folks would be going to the food, right? The lechon, the empanadas, the all these things. But how much do we thirst for the Word of God and allowing the Word of God to wash us? Remember now, this is the picture that the Spirit of the Lord has given each and every one of us in His government. And it says there in 1 Peter 2:9, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people. That's how we look at each other. That you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out from darkness into His marvelous light. This is how God picture His church, His bride. Washed by the blood, cleansed by the Word. Now, whenever you go to the Word, it's like Peter. You know, but during the time of Peter, we have the humble Christ, the servant Christ. But whenever you go to the Word, imagine that exalted Christ coming with his scarf, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and allowing the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords to wash your feet. What a great honor. That's so humbling. Just to look at that imagery is so humbling for each and every one of us. Amen? So let 2016 be a powerful word-filled life for you, word-filled life for me, because I'm included in this. Amen? Now that's the first part. And of His government and peace, there is no end. So we'll go to the second part, which is talking about His peace. And in Ephesians, it says, Ephesians 2, it says here, therefore remember, Ephesians 2:11, it says here, therefore remember that formerly you were Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, not done in the body but by the hands of man. Remember that at the time you were separated from Christ, excluded from the citizenship of Israel and foreigners to the covenant of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. This is our condition. It's tragic, isn't it? But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. For He Himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, abolishing in His flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in Himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace. So the hostility already has ended. Through Christ Jesus, we have peace. That's why when he was here, actually, he said, "Peace I leave you, my peace I give unto you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your heart be troubled, and do not be afraid." We are already one with him. Glory to God in the highest. Such a powerful, powerful position. A lot of people and a lot of religions are chasing after this peace. They're working for it. And we are in that position of resting because it's already done by our Savior. So, of all people, we are those that are really supposed to be right there, right? Oh, I pray, brothers and sisters, let the light and the peace and the joy and the fruits of the Holy Ghost just flow through us to those people and contaminate those people that need His peace. I've been reading this book lately, and it's the title is The Heavenly Man. And it's a story about Brother Yun. He's Chinese, and he is considered to be the Billy Graham of China. For many, many years, he has been planting churches, he has been incarcerated, tortured, you know, unimaginable torture. You know, reading his material over here, it says, man, this pastor really would die for the Lord's cause. In one of his incarceration, they placed a young man, 22 years old, in another cell. This young man is so violent. He is the son of one of the higher ups in government, and he is so vicious. He rapes, he murders. Eventually, they caught him. And so they said that. By the way, he's so vicious that they have no choice but to put him in shackles. Because anyone in the cell with him, once that individual gets near him, he bites off the ear, he bites off the nose, and so they put him in shackles, So anyway, the guards just wondered, would this Pastor Yun. Because Pastor Yun's cell became born again. All of them became born again. And even the guards were amazed that these criminals and these unruly people became worshiping. They're having worship in his cell. They're lifting up those praises. And so they wondered, would Pastor Yun be used by God to put in this individual's young's life? So they placed him there. And here's a little account, snapshot picture of what happened there. That he was, it says here, when he was 20 years old, was engaged and married. His fiancée loved him very much, but he was drawn to a local gang, and that began all his spiral down the road. So he traveled around the world and raped many young innocent girls. He visited several famous Buddhist temples to worship idols, hoping to find peace in his heart. His foray into sin and lust did not satisfy him and only made his condition worse. Because there is no other peace. There is no one else that could wash like Jesus washed. So he was caught, and the police saw him, eventually arrested him. In his bag, there found a knife that he used to murder, and also his suicide letter, because he wanted to kill himself. Everything else is useless. And also, there is a letter that contained a confession of many of his crimes. This time, there was no way for Huang's father to help him. The final straw that broke Huang's heart was when his father sent a t-shirt in the prison for him. On the back of the t-shirt was written, "I am unable to see you now, but I will see you at your execution." Now Huang has fully repented and become a new creation in Christ. He loved to sing a song I've taught him. "I love Jesus, I love Jesus. Every day of my life, I love Jesus. When days are sunny, I love him. When the storm clouds gather, I love him. Every day along my way, yes, I love Jesus." And Huang started to sing this song. And because of this change of heart, we remained Huang as Wang Engguang, which means Engguang means grace and light. He from darkness was brought into the grace of God, and there was light. And it says here also, on the evening of the 16th of August, we baptized Wang. Every prisoner received a daily ration of just one cup of water from the kitchen. But each man sacrificially gave half of his daily ration so we could have enough water to pour over Wang's head in baptism. This was the best baptism we could do under our circumstance. After his baptism, Wang asked, "Can Jesus also save my family? Can my mother, my father, my brothers, my sisters, and my ex-fiancé believe and be with me in heaven?" I told him what the Bible promised: "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household." Acts 16:31. Wang prayed throughout the night for his entire family to know God's salvation through Christ Jesus. Wang asked the guards to bring him a pen and two sheets of paper. He sat on the floor with the paper placed beside him. By moving his hands to the side, he was able to write. But after a few words, his pen ran out of ink. In desperation, Wang leaned down and bit his forefinger on his right hand. It started to flow with blood. Wang continued to write a letter to his parents using his own blood as an ink. Wang wrote, "Dear Papa and Mama, I cannot see you anymore, but I know you love me. Your son has dishonored you. Please don't feel sad after I die. I want to tell you something tremendous news. I will not die, for I have received eternal life. I met a merciful man in prison, the respected Brother Yun. He rescued my life and helped me believe in Jesus. He loved me, cared for me, and fed me every day. Papa and Mama, I am on my way to the kingdom of God. I will pray for you all. You must believe in Jesus. Please allow my brother Yun to share the gospel with you. When he visits you, he will tell you the rest of my story. May you receive eternal life. See you in the kingdom of God. Your son, Wang Engguang." Wang was baptized on the 16th of August, wrote the letter on the 17th, and was due to execution in the 18th. On the evening of the 17th of August, the Lord led me to wash Wang's feet in accordance with Jesus' command. Wang was very calm and smiled to the other prisoners. He told them, "We shall all meet again in the kingdom of heaven." Before they took Wang to the execution yard, he threw his arms to me and cried out, "I'll see you in heaven." In the yard, a guard kicked Wang's legs out and under him so that he was kneeling on the ground. He released the leg chains and handcuffs. They placed a hat on his head that said, "Condemned criminal." That was the last I saw of their precious brother Wang in this life. They took him to a place where they shot him at the back of his head. I heard the shot that sent Wang into the arms of Jesus. I was both sad and full of joy at the same time. I thank God he'd given me a chance to see my brother go to the kingdom of God. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Psalms 116. True story. Peace is only found through Christ Jesus, our Lord. John 16:33, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace." In me, the Word, the exalted Christ, the glorious Christ, you will have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but you be of good cheer. I, the Word, have overcome the world. Amen? To God be the glory. So Isaiah, we go back again to Isaiah 9:7. Of the increase of his government and his peace, there will be no end. Don't you be fooled that some religions are saying, "We are the one that are fastest growing. We are the most powerful one." Don't you be fooled, because the kingdom of God is the one that is growing faster than anyone or anything else. In the name of Jesus, Amen. To God be the glory. Great things He has done. Let 2016 be a year that you dedicate yourself in the presence of the Word of God and allow Him to wash your feet. Make a determination. Me and my family will do devotionals. I personally would be reading Scripture and memorizing Scripture. And so allowing Him to make you the person that He has envisioned you to be.